Are we
Yeah,
recording?
let's record.
Okay.
Let's record. Let's talk a little bit about the WHO and Trump,
Yeah.
and you want to mention some stuff on
Oil.
the oil
Yeah, no, oil.
situation.
The oil
Trump is
situation.
saying that he is going to stop the funding for the WHO, put it on pause. He hasn't said he's going to pull out of funding the WHO for the moment, but he is looking at it again, and I'll take this position again. Good for him. I think
Well,
he's doing the right thing. WHO, OPCW, WADA, all these institutions, even the UN. I'm sick of them all.
I basically agree with that. I will say there's a lot of politics within behind this decision. But what's wrong with politics? I mean, he is the president of the United States. He's facing re-election. He's got to win the election. And he's very angry with the WHO. And there is one specific issue where I think he's absolutely right. I've been trying to follow or work out what the WHO's views are on face masks. I can't make it out at all. I mean, I don't understand whether they're for them or whether they say that they don't make any difference. And the WHO, the WHO, let's call it by its proper name, the WHO at the beginning, the WHO for me is a rock group.
Yeah, when you say the Who,
Anyway.
I'm thinking Pitbull Wizard and
Yeah,
Bab O'Reilly.
let's call them the WHO, the WHO. And I mean, they're trying to argue around it, but they didn't give very good guidance at the beginning, and they did get far too close to the Chinese government. I mean, they published this extraordinarily flattering comment about President Xi of China, which was unnecessary. I mean, it's completely unnecessary about this wonderful things that China was doing to control the epidemic, which at that point wasn't the case. I mean, at that time, the Chinese were very much in denial, and then they publicly retweeted. And this, by the way, they're now saying this in order to defend themselves. That's the WHO saying to defend themselves. So actually, I think this is ghastly. They retweeted this thing about, that the Chinese are saying that human to human transmission of this disease isn't likely or possible or probable. And they're now saying, well, in fact, at the same time that we were tweeting that out, we were actually having all these video conferences with people, and we were telling them what it's actually, it's highly probable. Well, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. You're
The
tweeting
tweet
one
is.
thing and you're saying something else in private. I mean, what kind of an organization does that?
Well,
So,
what
I
kind of
mean,
an organization does that?
well, one that has become completely dysfunctional
And corrupt.
and is and corrupt and scared of arguing with the Chinese. And I think people who talk about the fact that I'm going to call him Dr. Tedros because I don't know his full name properly. I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but Dr. Tedros, that he is head of an Ethiopia, he's from Ethiopia, and that the Ethiopian government is very close to China and he doesn't want to ruffle Chinese feathers. I mean, I think that's probably true, but I'm sure it's true. I'm going to make a prediction, though. I don't think that the US will pull out completely from the WHO, and I think that this is more on the part of Trump, a massive shot across the bows of the WHO, because he's saying that he's frozen it or suspended it. He's not yet said that he's going to pull out completely. And the WHO is doing one important and useful thing, which is that we have all of these laboratories around the world which are working hard on vaccines. And apparently it is the information exchange. So it enables people in the US to know what China laboratories are doing and Russian laboratories are doing. And that's the kind of thing that the WHO does very well. But I think people who are saying that the WHO didn't handle this, or rather who are claiming that it handled it well, are just not looking at what happened at the beginning of the crisis. I remember. And can I talk about myself now? I remember on the strength of the information that was primarily coming out of the WHO back in December and January, I was saying on Duran videos, there's nothing to worry about. This is a bad case of the cold or the flu. And it clearly wasn't.
So the WHO really botched it.
Oh,
at least the public face of it. May have been having meetings in back rooms and out of the public eye, but the public face of the WHO was sending a completely different signal to the world.
Well, okay, yeah, but the trouble is, you see, Alex, when even if they were sending different messages in private, it's the public ones that ultimately
matter. That's my point. They botched it.
They did botch it. I mean, it's the public ones that ultimately matter. If you come along and tell people in public that don't worry about human transmission, it's not really happening. That's what the Chinese are telling us, and we trust the Chinese, who we're praising because they're doing such a brilliant job. That's the guidance that people are going to follow. It's also the guidance that governments are going to follow, because what they will say, what the governments will say, if they get back channel communications saying, don't pay much attention to our tweet, what the government would say is that's insurance. It's the public word that you're saying, which we rely on. The private word, it's just in case things go wrong. So, you're trying to reinsure against
hedging
it.
Their bets.
So you're hedging your bets. Exactly. But an institution like that should never hedge its bets. The fact that they were giving these back channel comments saying, that there's a high possibility that there is human to human transmission means that what they should have been saying publicly is there is a high possibility that there is human to human transmission. Or we don't have all the information yet, but we think that there is a high possibility that there is human to human transmission, and governments should be taking precautions to protect against it. And I have to say this also, that this idea that they had to butter up President Xi of China in order to get their team to Wuhan is absolutely ridiculously weak. I mean, you don't have to do that. And I've had interactions with the Chinese people very, very well. And if you want to go to China, if you're the WHO and you want to go to Wuhan and see what's going on there, you basically say to the Chinese, well, you let our team go there, or we make a fuss, we make a stink about it. And the Chinese at that point would have let the team go to Wuhan. You don't come along and say, well, China's handling this thing brilliantly and President Xi is a genius and do all those things. You will only lose credibility if you do that. So people who defend the WHO need to understand this. They did botch it. That doesn't mean that they don't do useful and important things as well, but I think that they do need a major shot across the bow, because frankly, if there'd been consistent and proper messaging right at the beginning, back in December and January, we might be in a different place now.
No, you need to do a clean house. You need to audit the damn thing. Yeah, absolutely. There are parts of the organization that are valuable and do perform valuable functions.
Yes.
But that whole executive team has been completely compromised, completely corrupt. Their travel budget was more than the budget to go after diseases and epidemics and other things that they should have been focusing on. Just their travel budget, I think, was $200 million, something like that. Ridiculous amount of money. This is an absolute crime. It's an absolute crime. They need to be completely audited. Their executive team needs to be completely redone from top to bottom, their executive team. They need new people running it.
The one concern I have, and I'm going to be straightforward about this, is I don't want to see what happened to the OPCW, happened to the
That
China
was my next China, point. That was my next
is,
point.
Yeah. Which is that it then gets taken over. I mean,
the OPCW needs to go through the same audit.
Exactly.
And WADA needs to go through the same audit.
Exactly.
And the UN needs to go through the same damn audit. These global elite.
Yes.
International institutions are completely useless and corrupted, but they have very valuable functions underneath.
Yes.
Those need to be preserved.
You see, I have to say this. Once upon a time, and it's not so long ago, I mean, right up until, the end of the Cold War, throughout the Cold War, you could actually rely on those sort of organizations. They were run by reasonably trustworthy apolitical technicians. Now they've become completely politicized. So the OPCW is now run by the Western powers, as is WADA. The WHO seems to be very much more inclined towards siding with China. And I mean, things have gone very, very badly wrong. And my one concern would be you clean out the WHO, you put in a new leadership, and of course that new leadership is just going to follow what the US line is. And I wouldn't want to see that happen either. I think with the changes that are happening in the world, maybe that's less dangerous than it should be. But there were serious things wrong with what the WHO was doing at the beginning of this crisis. I don't think anybody looks at this would dispute that. I mean, saying one thing in public, saying another thing in private, that's not diplomacy, that's subterfuge, that's manipulation.
No, the corrupt... These corrupt organizations, these highly politicized leaders who are running these organizations, they're causing absolute suffering around the world.
Yeah.
From the OPCW to the WHO. I mean, the OPCW almost pushed us to the brink of a war between the United States and Russia.
Correct.
That's the OPCW.
Correct.
The WHO, we don't need to say anything about what they've done and the damage that they've caused.
No.
And even WADA, even an organization like WADA, even though it's not a life or death type of decision that they're making, they are affecting the lives of hundreds of athletes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Completely right. I entirely agree. I mean, I know that the International Olympic Committee is extremely unhappy about WADA. Not just over the Russian thing, but because it's conceded so much power to WADA that WADA is now, in a way, almost a power by itself. I mean, it's a major force in athletics, in sport, and it's again follows very, very dangerous political agendas. So it's, you know, and I'm sure there are lots of other organizations like this, about which the same can be said. I mean, I don't know very much about them, but I'm sure UNESCO, all those things, I mean, that exist, that they're no longer. Well, I'll tell you one, the International Atomic Energy Agency, for example, has become extremely destabilized over the last 20 plus years. So, you know, all of these organizations, they need to be looked at again and reorganized. How it's going to be done and how it's going to happen in today's deeply polarized and politicized world, I don't know. But certainly we shouldn't, you know, give them say that they've done well when they haven't done well. I mean, I'm just incredulous that people are actually saying that because the WHO was giving one set of messages in private and a completely different set of messages in public, that somehow means that it's okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
It shows how badly things went wrong.
It shows poor management, bottom line.
Well, it shows duplicitous management. I mean, that's the only
corrupt,
way I can. Yeah, absolutely.
Efficient management.
There's no faster way of losing respect than to say one thing in public and the opposite in private. I mean, not if you're an organization like the WHO.
Look, we need to talk about oil very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
My last point on this is anywhere else in the real world, if you're working for any other company, if you were an executive in any type of organization or company and you acted like this, you would be canned right away. I am so sick and tired of all these bureaucrats getting these incredible, incredible salaries, getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, these massive travel budgets and showing absolute incompetence and then getting promoted up. The one name that comes to mind, Christine Lagarde, for example.
I'm sick of it.
I'm sick of all of this stuff. All these people are absolute, just incompetent, bought and sold tools. That's all they are.
I believe, by the way, if we're just going to just finish off on the WHO, that as it's a UN body, the people who work there, who get these inflated salaries, get them tax free. Just to add that.
As Christine point. Lagarde does.
That's, absolutely, yeah.
The IMF and the exactly. EU, all of them.
So when you read, and I seem to remember reading that the Secretary General of the UN, his salary is something like $12 million a year. He gets that tax free.
Oil.
Anyway, oil.
What's the news?
Well, the news is the market has taken one hard look at the painstakingly difficult agreement that was negotiated at the beginning of this week, and has given it a gigantic thumbs down. Oil prices are falling; they're well below $30. So it's the oil market is still oversaturated with oil, thanks to MBS's absurdities. And we are still seeing oil prices fall. I predict as night follows day, in another week's time, I give it about a week. I don't think it'll take much longer. Donald Trump will be on the phone to MBS again, and we'll be seeing more oil cuts.
buy oil long. That's what I say. It's going to go up. The price has to go up.
Oh, absolutely. Sooner or later. Eventually. Well, when economies recover. I mean, people really ought to read, actually, a very good analysis of the oil market provided by none other than Vladimir Putin about a week ago, in the run-up to the OPEC Plus discussions, in which he said that, you know, that what you get is when there's a supply glut, people cut back on production. More importantly, they cut back on investment also, so that then when recoveries come, and they always do, there's a massive oil shortage and oil prices explode. And that's exactly what, I mean, that is the consistent pattern in the oil market. So probably around this time next year, we'll be looking at $100 a barrel. It's quite possible.
Definitely we're going to be looking, I think. I don't want to make any predictions. Concrete predictions, you never know, but I think we'll definitely be looking at 50 or 60.
Yeah, well, I have long since realized that predictions of the price of oil in any one particular time frame are extremely reckless. But I come back to what I said. An oil glut is always followed by an oil shortage. Oil shortages lead to exploding prices for oil. And the other thing that's going to push up the oil price, by the way, is that we have all this vast amount of money sloshing around because governments have been spending money like, there's no tomorrow on trying to sustain the world economy. And what invariably happens in that situation is that a lot of that money eventually ends up in the oil market when prices start rising because people treat oil as a hedge. So there's going to be an oil price explosion. I've no doubt of it at all.
All right. Yeah. Final words.
So as I said, a bad news for MBS because he's going to be blamed by everybody for the fact that the oil price is still falling. But if you're an oil investor, hold tight.
Hold tight. There you go. All right, Alexander, let's do a couple of videos.